This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, John Gabriel, standing at 6'2". 304 pounds. He's on creatine. He's bloating. From the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, what are you doing here? Abortion is healthcare. I agree. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabriel. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur's a dog. Arthur is not currently in the High Mighty Studios. I cannot stop saying this part of the introduction. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, a legendary podcaster himself, but I know him as a fucking one of the funniest stage comedians I have ever seen in my 20 years of doing fucking comedy. You know him, you love him, return to the pod from Last Podcast on the Left, it's Henry Zabrowski.
It's really good to be here, and I love, again, it's about coming in with an honest energy, strength, and I really appreciate that.
Where'd those little glasses come from that you're wearing now? You have, like, little glasses?
Little? It's because, again,
it shows...
It's
an honor to be here.
It's what a lovely time to be here, you fucker. No, it is really nice to have you back. Have me back. It's nice. I miss the puppy.
Oh, yeah, the puppy is almost 14 years old now, and man, a gray-faced little dude.
I know. I don't want to talk about what we're like. We've already said with our dog. Our dog just hit about like 9, 10, and we're gonna keep her alive way longer than she needs to be. We're just gonna pump blood into her.
Yeah,
I'm trying to stretch it out to 25. I think we could get her out to 25, 27.
I'm trying to get like six jobs and use all that money just for like dog wellness. Just to keep my dog, like get my dog on human dog hormone or dog growth hormone, whatever it needs to stay alive.
Wait, you honestly, you want to talk about real conspiracy? We went to, Wendy did that thing, right? Our dog, Wendy, little chihuahua, like, you know, 9-pound chihuahua. She just started like shitting blood, right? Because this, I guess, is a thing that little dogs can, right? I didn't know, but we were like, oh, this is our only version of a child. It's dying, right? So we go to the urgent care, and they hit you up right up front. They look at, if it's serious, they're like, it's $1,200 to even put her in here. Like, you literally got to pay up front right now. And you're like, all of your love is in this, like, nurse's hands. And so you're like, here's your credit card. They could have, and they literally went, they looked at her, they did x-rays of her, and then she was like, yeah, they shit blood sometimes. And you're like, that's it?
They know that so bad. They're like, look, she's not doing great, but for $2,800, you can buy another 6 to 9 months. You're like, here you go.
Here you go. It's fine. Honestly, if this actually happens all the time. And you're like, I didn't understand. I didn't know that dogs were so loose with their blood. Then that's scary in and of itself.
Yeah. Now you're going to be like, you know, your dog walker's like, take it. You're like, oh, don't worry if she shits blood. That's her thing.
She loves it. That is, honestly, it's half of what she does.
It's part of her charm at this point. Wendy, the blood shitter. Poor thing. Dude, we ran into each other. I haven't seen you in person IRL in a hot minute, and
a long time.
Yeah, we ran into each other at a little weed cabana situation, and it was fun to see you there. And I'm like, and light, of course, get some weed heads in a room. Some conspiracy stuff starts flying, but the funnest shit was we were into like weed conspiracies. Like Bean and Stock knows enough about fucking the weed community and culture.
It's
that he was
wild.
I know.
Well, it's because I like to even say this to like my listeners about like we talk about conspiracy theory all the time and more and more like really connected to like we always say, you know, obviously follow the money, who benefits, qui bono, right?
Yeah.
And but also like there's humanity still involved. Like the people that are the gears of these so-called conspiracy theories are also humans. And you have to kind of think like unless you really believe that they're lizards, which is like a whole other, that's a whole other thing. I do believe on some level, we'll get to this, that those types of energies are legit, right? Like, and people do have experienced these types of things. But for the most part, it's humans doing it. And that every single realm of business, entertainment, just like anywhere there's a community, there's conspiracy.
Yeah.
And it arrives.
Yeah. And you just said something that's been on my mind lately, so I'm just going to connect it right here. Like the lizard people conspiracy feels like and stuff of that stature of like adrenochrome farm that all feels like it's running cover for like the more malicious, more boring sounding conspiracies
of like, we're just systematically fucking poor people over and taking money and redistributing it upwards. But
that's the big conspiracy. That's the actual big conspiracy yeah. is that they don't care if we live or die.
Right.
And they want us to work until our very last breaths. Right. They want us to keep, especially those that are not in charge. Because look at Mitch McConnell, right? He's right now getting the finest fetus meat injected into his neck. Right?
He's in the stem cell dip right now. He's in the fucking like Minority Report milk bath. Like,
did you see Infinity Pool?
Yes.
Yeah, he is getting Infinity Pool right now. Yeah, like, they're going to pull him out. He's going to be a brand new Mitch McConnell. Like, he's got all the access that they're going to keep him alive. But
that'd be funny if he comes back with like jet black hair and like
huge tits,
broad shoulders, big fucking arms and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes back like ready to fucking murder.
Like, I'm a pussy as well. They got it's incredible. He's like, yeah,
unfortunately,
he's like
it's right here in my neck. Now, fuck my neck, Mr. Biden.
You got it, Jack. You got it, Jack. That's all I got. That's my Biden. Isn't that fantastic? Why is an SNL called? You got it, Jack. But, you know, so yes, right. So what was you just saying? My brain, too.
No, I was just saying how, like, all these, like, spicy and interesting conspiracies.
Yes.
Like, I know you guys talk about all this shit.
But all
like,
this shit.
Some of the, like, you know, all the lizard, adrenochrome, mind control stuff. Well, and, of course, there's probably a dose of reality to all of them or some metaphorical or symbolic explanation. Or, legitimately, maybe there are shape-shifting lizards that are... it could be. But that is, like... And no offense to people who are in it.
Please,
but.
Please don't offend our lizard community because they, again, they have a lot of time on their hands and they send
the more
many
dangerous
emails.
Ones are the less the less interesting, the less eye-catching, like of just like fundamental money funneling upwards is
well,
like.
Real evil guys. That's why, like, you know, you have like real billionaires, the guys that really are the puppeteers of giant industries. Don't want you to know their name, right? Like,
right.
They don't really want to ride in silence, and they want to be administrators of giant octopus-like corporations within corporations that really just go into that very bottom true conspiracy, which is anybody that is on top is going to do everything possible to remain on top and use all of the hapless, like all of us, mm-hmm. as just meat for the machine. And that's what they want.
Blood,
right?
And like, grist for the fucking gears of fucking capitalism.
In.
Yeah.
But like we talked about on our JFK series and we got some heat, right? Because I'm a, like, how do you put it? Like, I'm with you, Gabers. We are both of an age when we grew up on the internet, it was ensconced in a lot of fun / what we didn't know, like hiddenly, deeply deviant conspiracy theory that was like fun to bandy about, right? And like, and talk about and get into the guts of. And like, now we see that, like, we're seeing sort of the edges of like things jumping from the internet into real life for real. Like, I view that the riots on January 6th is like a perfect example of like literally a LARP that started on 8chan. It started as a goof, and then it turned into a thought virus. And it changed, and then it jumped into real life. And that we're a lot of conspiracy that I have seen, and truly you get to the very bottom of, starts with jokes. It starts with people making shit up. There was like a thing I was looking at this morning that came up called the Taxil host, because Taxil hoax, which is a thing that we are working on. We're going to be working on some big historical series connected to. We've been hinting at this called, it's about the French Revolution. We've been talking about this. I don't know when it's going to drop, but we are already working on it.
Oh,
and
cool.
One of the, you didn't realize, there is also like, as far back as then, you jump into a world of conspiracy theory about the French Revolution and why it was started. And a lot of it came from the writings about the fact that it was an anti-Catholic Christian movement to create a godless socialist world. Like, that was like one thing. That's how it started, was because it came from a hoax called the Taxil hoax, which was a fake script as a parody of the what if this was real? What if the Illuminati was real? It would look like this, blah, 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 blah. People later on took that document and said, here's the evidence that was written at the time for how these systems work. And you're like, so you just watched. It's like one step of how like something jumps from like a funny idea. Like they do it to make fun of how ridiculous this would be. How ridiculous it would be if this was real at the time. And then all of a sudden someone else takes it as concrete reality. Then it has become concrete reality. And that's it. That's how it's born. But it's weird then. It then in some weird kind of way becomes real because people are acting on the information as if it is real. You know right. What I mean? So now you've made it real. That's how reality works. You now it is real because you made it real.
Yeah. And that's, it's crazy how like similar the French Revolution, like situation was to modern society. In
we're
a way
dealing with a constant issue, which is the massive gap between the super wealthy and the poorest of the poor, right? Like that idea of that lack of representation. Like, you know, we've all, you played Civ, right?
Have
you
yeah,
played Civ?
Of course.
We know how to keep people. Like I say this, like you know, you got to get some circuses in there. You yeah. know what I mean? You got to get people. Technically, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Which is why, do people not call you like CIA agents and shit? Do people not attack you?
No, not that. I don't get that. I'm not a misinformation agent. I'm not. I'm not a jester that's like, look over here while we set the nukes up. You know. But
do you know though? Do you know if you're not? Because you and fucking because you worked for fucking big TV, man. That's the problem. You've been you and Adam are out there, oh, laughing it up. Oh, and engaging the whole world. Love. Oh, look at them. Look how we can't possibly be in free.
What a
fall.
Cover. Those... Travel the country, meet with assorted heads of industry and the veiled prophet and assorted Illuminati.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, all your very favorite local watering holes.
Yeah. Even the idea of like the Illuminati and that feels like a very realistic conspiracy, but even without. It exists without the name or any of the mystical shit around it. You're like, what is the Illuminati? A handful of super powerful people who can control everything that happens in the world.
The it's corporatocracy like, we're yeah, currently
we
in.
We have yes. that. We have it's that. It. It, whether they wear fucking robes and like are putting secret messages on the dollar bill, that doesn't even matter, really, in the long run. It's well, like
that's where like that's why I really do think like what I've now come to discover, like again, human qualities. Things have human qualities. The CIA, in and of itself, has a sense of humor about the way they do things. Like, they are, in a hacky way, that it's real. Or if you go to the CIA Spy Museum, if you go to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., it is
And by the way, when I was 14 years old with my family and we went to Washington, D.C. to do sightseeing, drove mm-hmm. down from New York City, from Long Island, I was like, the only thing I want to go to is the FBI museum.
Of course, no, I was the same way. I was obsessed as a little kid. I loved all this shit. But the CIA, the spy museum is a giant blowjob. I'm calling it the CIA museum because it's just a giant blowjob to the yeah. CIA. Yeah. Right. And they do it all tongue in cheek. It's all funny little jokes. It's like, I don't know if you've ever stayed at the Watergate in DC.
Yeah.
Where it's like, now it's like a funny, like ironic, like, ooh, just like you don't have to break in. Like they do all this like funny things.
Now
like,
that is like, that is funny, but this gets at one of my major issues. They have monetize their own crimes.
Yes.
like and they're these making are money off of it. That's like, yes. Oh, I'm visiting fucking like the Florida flight school where the 9/11 flight.
Oh, whoa. Like, yeah. You get to like sit in the copter, like be a 9/11 pilot. Yeah. Like, right. It is very, but it's weird. Like you go and you, but you can see like how they spin things off in their to kind of see where things go too. Like there is a playful aspect to the way they are playing, literally playing with our brains. Like they go into internet forums and they blow it up and they like that is completely real. People joke about ops being in the chat, but ops are in the chat. Like they are they send them out to kind of defenestrate various pieces of information and make things real. Like that's kind of a part of the a little bit of a info war, to use the term, like literally, like that's what they do.
To
like,
use the term, my favorite TV show,
my favorite television show. But it's also funny, but in the other end, it only has a certain effect, right? Like it's not, it's not as powerful as they would like us to think, and they get off on us thinking. Like, they like the feeling.
It helps them.
It helps them for you to think that the CIA, the NSA, or this is omnipresent.
More capable, yeah.
Yes, like deep force where you're like, well, actually, it's a group of humans. It's humans in a room that are just jobs are that they're literally mischief makers. That's like what they do. They create smoke screens. They do that's kind of like their entire life. And so a lot of it spills onto us.
Right. And then we're not sure if we're in a case of like, I'm not sure what's real, they're winning. Like if
they're
like,
winning,
oh,
they're shattering their thing, which is like why like somebody like what Trump was like attacking Truth and then playing against them, fighting them, but they're acting offended. It's like a whole thing where it's like that during a time period where it was like, oh, I'm supposed to defend the FBI. Like I'm not ready for this. Like I'm not ready to. Yeah, I hate this. But look at an example, right? Like just the last couple weeks, I've talked about it on the show, but like we watched with these four objects that got shot down. On the outside.
This is good. This is a zeitgeisty 100% in this world. I'd love to talk about it with you. So let's
it's happening.
Yeah.
Right. So it starts with the Chinese spy balloon that we quote unquote let go across the United States of America. And then we blew it up when it was safe. Right. We say that was because we let it go because we were getting intelligence from how the spy balloon was operating. We wanted to see what it did and what it measured. So it's like, that's why we said we let it. I also think the reason why we let it is because the United States of America doesn't need balloons. We're watching them from space. So what they're doing, and that it seems to be, there's like another layer, right? It's like, were they floating that? The balloon seems pretty obvious. The balloon seems like one of those things that they were doing. There's some forums that are saying that it was in response to how we are dealing with like Taiwan and dealing with things going on inside of China, right? So that there's like a little like, you want to start this? You want to do this? Like maybe right. There's that. So that's one weird psyop level. No clue what is happening here, right? But you notice they shot the spy balloon. They would scooped it right up, right? And they were like, got it. Got the balloon and showed all the stuff. And they, you know, the guy like doing the hunter stance, like he was doing a Tinder like profile picture of right, him, like, right. Yeah, with the spy balloon. So then we started shooting these objects out of the sky, one outside of Alaska, right? Which we know that was, they said specifically was not a balloon. But we blew it because of the way that it operated when we shot it, right? Because they said it shattered, right? So there's that thing. Then there's the thing that they tracked over. They tracked an object over Montana, and then they blew it up over Lake Huron. That was the one they said was most similar to a balloon. And then there was an object that they shot that was the one over Canada, which was octagonal, right? Octagonal shaped, what they said, with antennas hanging off the side of it. And then they blew it up. And then you remember we're all like, everybody's freaking out. So they're blowing these things up out of the sky. And then the first thing they say is, we're going to get this wreckage. We're going to get right to the bottom of this. We're going to tell the United States of America because this is transparent as hell. We're transparent as hell. Meanwhile, there's been a massive, one of the biggest chemical disasters in our entire history.
I know.
Has just happened, right? Like, it's also just happened in Ohio. Like, so there's a little bit of that. Like, are they trying to cover for that thing? What's going on with this shit? And it's like, so you're watching in time. Them play with messaging, like literally live, them try to figure out how to message what the fuck's going on. Because this is the most, we shot four objects down and over U.S. airspace over like 2 weeks. We've never done that before.
No.
Ever.
Not in my lifetime. That's what I was saying. Not in my lifetime. Potentially not ever over. At least not where we heard about it. Mm-hmm. You know? And
yes. Right. And so like, this is technically the biggest news since Pearl Harbor, right? If this is all real, if this is a mass invasion of anything, it's huge. But then the next day, you know, 3 days later, they're making a huge deal about it. All of a sudden, brakes get fucking slammed on the news cycle. Nothing. And then they're like, they come out and they say like, oh, there's no way we're going to find this wreckage. There's no way we're going to find it. We don't know what it is. And then they just let that thing fart out. They just don't. You notice we haven't heard dick. Biden said something. He came out and said that they're trying to keep it mysterious, but also not panic us, right? So they're trying to say it's not UFOs, or it's like, or it's not aliens. It's not. So they're trying not to panic us. They're saying it's not another sovereign national countries of origin. They don't think, and so they're trying not to freak us out. Then what the fuck was it? Why did we spend literally $1 million to blow
right,
all of those things out of the sky?
Even the missiles we use cost like. The cost
hundreds
like
of thousands
homes.
Of dollars.
Yeah,
it's crazy because it's like you're watching because it's a chain of events, right? You're paying a staff of like It's, I want to say a missile, it's like several thousand people have to be enacted for one missile to fire. You know, it's like, jeez, it's a huge chain. And so now it's like, so my theory was that it was private tech, that it was stuff that we either put up in the sky on purpose, right, and blew it up to show the world that we can knock something out of the sky the size of a Hyundai and we can get it. Like, we can get it like that. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, or is it just shit that was in the sky that we didn't even know was up there? And then you got private industry stuff that's just floating in the atmosphere that no one has any idea that it's there. And then they went and accidentally spent millions of dollars to go blow up a bunch of shit that was just garbage, ostensibly. And then now they have to cover up. So it's like, very similar to our favorite JFK conspiracy theory, which is that the Secret Service accidentally killed JFK in a moment, in a blunder, in a reaction to Lee Harvey Oswald's shot. It's a whole, this is a whole book was written about this, and that the conspiracy again came down to covering up
what actually
call
happened,
the worst workplace accident in the history of America.
That's like what this, I had heard this theory that Lee Harvey Oswald's shot set reaction fire, but like people just panicked. So
the story is, the long and short story, the short version of it is that the JFK was going into the heart of like where he is the least liked, right? You going into Texas, he is not, you know, and he's a guy that was an elitist his whole life. Like JFK, while a very, truly a very good president, was not
a blue blood.
He was blue blood, and the Secret Service also didn't particularly like him, right? Like he was,
because
they
were running fucking cover on his
all of his shit,
his like pussy posse.
All literally, like they'd call it his medicine for when he'd have to fuck. Like they'd have to go and get him his medicine, and so it was like a whole thing. So at night when they landed in Dallas, the Secret Service partied all night the night before. So they were hammered. Everybody got partied all night. And so the story is that it was like one dude that was a rookie that was up all night and in the motorcade was going, right? Because then this fits into my conspiracy theory that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't even there to kill JFK. He was there to kill the governor of Texas, who he hated, and wrote in screeds about how much he hated the governor of Texas. Because, again, he was a socialist and actually vaguely liked JFK for being the only person to speak to China and Russia, right? Like, the idea of trying to negotiate. This is the whole thing. This is, again, who knows? Who fucking knows? But so Lee Harvey Oswald goes up there to shoot the governor, accidentally shoots JFK instead. Now that shot goes off. Secret Service car behind the JFK motorcade stops short. The guy gets up in response to it with an AK-47, which is true. He has his assault rifles that are underneath the seats in the limo. Unlike he's got with the safety off, he pulls it up to go. Car stops short. He falls back. Gun goes off. Blows the back of fucking JFK heads off, which is the reason why two different angles, two different bullets, right? Well, you got the steel metal jacket that went through him and into the governor, and then you have that one that literally exploded the back of his head. And so the conspiracy came at a choke point when they were all fighting over his body in the autopsy room, because there's that story of like, we're taking the body to DC, and the autopsy, like the guy, the head of the Dallas, I forget what hospital, but he was like, no, this is a homicide. We do it like we always do any homicide. We do it right here. We do it right now. And they're like, fuck that. No, we're taking him back to DC. And they took him, brain and all, on a plane out of there before the autopsy could even be officially done until they do it later. And then it came for them trying to cover their ass, which is like, to me, like, but I also believe CIA had a motive to kill him, right? And the mafia wanted to kill him. And the Cubans wanted to kill him. And this, like, everybody wanted to kill JFK. But there's something to that idea of the humanity in that moment and where conspiracies really seem to come from, which is small groups creating a little idea and that getting proliferated versus giant systemic planning. Because the one thing I have seen is that a lot of these guys don't know how to keep a fucking secret. Anyway, right. All these guys, half of them are on Rogan. You see these CIA guys that go on Rogan, just blah, 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 and just fucking yip-yapping, saying all these fucking secrets, which then you wonder, like, because that's the truth. They say that CIA agents can't retire, that they don't retire. Right. You're always a company man.
So you're wondering if they're like, here are the things you are allowed to talk about on podcasts.
Or here you go, run. Here's your, like, here's your shit. And then, like, here's your fun thing that you can be a crazy person on, that we can all be like, he's crazy on, and use you as that pinion point, and we can run imagery.
We can run ideas through this person.
But yeah, that's where I get
also
to.
Also, imagine they told us back then, it was an accident by someone in the Secret Service. We might not have been able to handle that as a people.
Well, think. I feel like that's one of those things. Well, think about the investigations it would lead to, and the hearings, and the red tape, and the
other stuff that might come up about the president, yeah, about the Everything. Secret Service, about the executive branch.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of that shit. You know, no one's looking in that box. And so they view in one way, again, governments are made of many, many little tiny little groups, subgroups on subgroups, and they each one has their own agenda. So you have like something like that, where like that group literally just like, we are protecting the country. That's our view, is that holding the respect of these offices is what is going to allow our country to succeed, which is whether or not you just decide whether or not you believe that. Like, I got into a big drunken argument with me and my friend last night. We were joking about that concept of like, you know, like, I want our CIA, I want the United States of America's deeply troubling and evil intelligence community to win, because if not, we're fucked.
Yeah, so I don't like the fights that they're picking, but I'm not going to root for them to lose. It's a complicated situation.
It's weird. It's weird because I don't want them fucking with people outside of the United States of America, but they're also definitely fucking with us too. So it's this whole, like, it's weird. But then I meet, I've had members of the CIA, like, email me. It's really funny, like, to get a, one of my favorite emails I've got was an email from a burner account that says, hey, just wanted you to know, there's a huge contingency at the NSA, we're huge fans. And they showed, it was like five challenge coins, just a picture of five challenge coins on a table. And then the email deleted itself. It was awesome. I was like, this is the fucking, like, he did it for me. I was like, thank you. That's for me. Thank you for a little spy dance.
Oh, that's
like, thank
so
you for giving
rad.
Me my conspiracy theory juice. You know, like,
you're close. You're getting closer, Henry. Like, that's all you need to hear. And you don't even realize you're accidentally an operating wing of the CIA by.
Well, do we talk? You know, I joke about it on the show about how, like, I just come out and say I'm a CIA agent.
Yeah. Like, am I helping or hurting them? Or, yeah.
Am I helping? I don't know.
You're a smart, informed guy, but is it all in the information they want you to have?
I don't know. I don't know. And then, like, I'm certain on some level, like, it gets me closer to that's where the weed and the mushrooms and a year of meditation came in, where, like, all of a sudden now I'm way more, it's kind of about personal transformation. I do believe that many ways the government doesn't want people to understand, like, how psychically powerful you are and what it can do, like, how you can change your life and your surroundings just with that type of, like, perspective. But I just think the government doesn't care up to a certain point, and that they just let us they don't want to reveal what they learn from their weird psychic research. A lot of it would probably, which is nothing, but like, there's probably a lot more to the reality that they have bumped up on a couple of times that they don't really want us to know necessarily.
We are in the thick of March Madness. It's upon us. It's time for you to shoot your shot and score big with the nonstop action on MyBookie. Whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting on the eventual national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has got you covered. Getting started with MyBookie is easy. Visit the website online, make your first deposit, and use promo code MIGHTY to claim an exclusive deposit bonus. That's promo code MIGHTY, MIGHTY, to claim some extra money on top of your initial deposit. That's promo code MIGHTY to claim some extra money on top of your initial deposit. With hundreds of thousands in prizes for March Madness and weekly blackjack tournaments, you can turn your game day into payday with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Promo code MIGHTY!
Winter is here. And for me, that means struggling to find the right temperature when I sleep. I recently found a way to stay at the perfect temperature all night long using silver-infused bed sheets by Miracle Brand that were inspired by NASA. You know me, I run hot. I'm a big boy. So the self-cooling properties that the Miracle Brand sheets have, ooh, better quality sleep. Using silver-infused fabrics originally developed by NASA, Miracle Brand sheets are thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temp all night long. They're self-cleaning. That means the sheets are infused with natural silver. It prevents 99.9% of bacterial growth, leaving them staying cleaner and fresher for 3 times longer than other sheets. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. Who doesn't want better sleep and luxurious feeling sheets? Better for your skin, too. Stop sleeping on bacteria. Clean sheets means less black bacteria to clog your pores and fewer breakouts and other skin problems. And that means you look younger and prettier. Go to trymiracle.com/mighty. That's trymiracle.com/mighty. TRYMIRACLE.com/MIGHTY. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Save over 40%. Be sure to use our promo code MIGHTY at checkout to save even more and get 3 free towels. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, if you're not a hundo P satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Brand. Go to trymiracle.com/mighty and use the code MIGHTY to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%. There's too many like pockets, like you say, all these small, like there's too many pockets of things that like hallucinogens are illegal. Hippies were.
And they also, they also seeded groups, I believe that during the 1960s, where they used acid to also destabilize things.
Yeah.
Before people understood it, you know, like they literally, then we just loved it.
Well, put it this way. Hippies had some of the best opinions about the future of America, but got really caught up in fucking and drugs. And yeah. that feels like if I'm playing Civ and I'm like, people are acting up over here and they're starting to pull at some threads going like, how come we're not all universally loving each other? How come people aren't free?
Hey, have you guys ever tried listening to what it's like when a guitar plays off its own feedback?
Yeah.
We're like, whoa, fucking shit, whoa, dude.
It's like, let them have acid. Get them acid. Yo, let's send like 5 fucking, you know, like squeaky frooms in there and get everyone fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
well, then and then Charles Manson, that's what they talk about. That's the big CIA conspiracy theory of the 60s, is that Manson was planted and that was in order to kill the hippie movement, that they, right, they trained
to turn America
him
against the hippie. That,
yes.
Literally somehow hippies who, and like, I was a fucking 15-year-old kid in the 90s going dirty, saying dirty hippie.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And now at 41, I look back on hippies and I'm like, I didn't agree with their clothes, but every other thing about their life was fucking smart choices. That's where everyone I know who's my age and feeling lost in like what society is and feeling like we can't get a victory because buying a home seems like I am, you know.
It's really intense. It's fucking, you know, it's a deep uphill climb that they have made to make. It's weird because in some way you're like, this is kind of where we're getting, I feels like we're at a tipping point. Because
I agree,
it's getting the barrier is getting so high for anybody to jump into what's supposed to be quote unquote a stable
middle
living
class
life. Yeah, their life. Yeah. And that is the center
of the American,
like,
dream. If we want to use their terminology,
the American dream.
is further from reach for more people than ever before.
And yeah, so you wonder why conspiracy theories are fucking flourishing.
Yeah.
It's like there is a thing because they really do believe there is a system built against them, and there is, but it's not lizard people. It's just money. It's how they spread the money. You know,
but
like,
appealing right now would it sound if I was like, Henry, I think you know about 15 of these 30 people, but I bought a huge plot of land like in NorCal, and we're gonna build a bunch of cabins up there. We got some like early education specialists.
We're already talking about it. Our whole crew's already talking about it.
It's hard not to like look back at what the hippies did, what hippies were doing, and see like how it would be antithetical to what the power structure would want.
Oh yeah, because again, you're not feeding back in, and then we were not. It's so funny though. It's like our generation, unlike our father's generation, is like getting mellower as we get older. Like it seems like our in understanding more and trying to let more of the kind of compassion in. And I think partially it's because of what we our age experience between like the first recession, but like 9/11, obviously live, you know, we had 9/11 live in high school. You know what I mean? Like we saw that before it was cool, you know, like, and now you're like, it's that same
I didn't have 9/11 on my iPod, man. I had it on vinyl, dog.
I had it on vinyl, dude. But like, it's that shit. We were traumatized. So hopefully on some level it allows us to grow and learn. I mean, also,
but we also saw, and like, I'm going to shrink this down to my perspective, but I can imagine there's shades and parallels for a lot of people. I saw my dad work his whole life, die 8 years before retirement. Everything in his life was geared towards retirement. He got a house. He's like, I just got to get my kids to college, this, that, the other thing. And then he passed away. And what life did he live? Luckily, he was a union guy and had like protections and like some stuff in place that helped my family after he passed.
Well, you
but
were
what life did he live?
You weren't taught that that's what, I mean, that's what my father said, the father's basically called the ATM. And then he's like, that's what fathers do. They work. They go to some place and work. I remember when I first got my first job, my dad was like, congrats, you're going to be working every day for the rest of your fucking life. And he was just like, that's all he
and
ever
it's like
did
an honor.
Work.
Yeah, I know.
And then when he stopped working, because then he fully retired, and then it's like nothing mattered. And he just wasn't. He was like,
we lost
stop
purpose.
Having
people
friends.
People lose purpose. And work isn't our purpose. I'm not positive what the human purpose is. I'm going to cornally say love, but I don't think like,
and, I actually do think that we serve a practical purpose. I think consciousness holds reality together.
Wow.
So we think just our
hell
being here.
Yeah.
Like our shit. Like there was one theory I read that I think is really interesting, that the idea that the entire universe is held together by like tent poles of consciousness that literally generate reality, and that you create, that's kind of what it is. That's why we are the essential manifestation of the universe, which is the mouth of the thing that makes things. And
now,
so we pop up from time to time.
From that perspective, is it a very bad thing that it seems to be, at least in this country on a small scale, and I'm assuming globally, we all seem to be existing in different realities a little bit?
I always had a theory that the internet's hardwired subconscious, right? It is the internet. That's why, like, to get real petty, like why I've had arguments with like entertainment professionals and people who run like media companies about how, like, I just recently had a conversation with a person that was like a big up with, I was just like, you guys all keep treating the internet like it's movies and television, and it's not. It's literally the human, it's neutral. It's the human mind. That is, we are just, you can cultivate your own little crew on the internet. You don't need millions and millions and millions of people. You just need your people, and you can live a really good like life entertaining a pocket of people like on the internet. But basically just this idea that like it's all of our thoughts that are just getting pumped into shit all the time. And so it's like it's a hardwired version of it. And
we're just pumping thoughts into the internet, and everyone's thoughts are being pumped in the internet. And then you go and gather up whatever collection of thought, and then you go, whoa, this little section here over in the right-wing fucking blogosphere lines up with a few of my thoughts. I don't know about this blood libel.
It becomes your whole.
Roll it
yeah,
in.
Exactly. Yeah. But it becomes, it's interesting because you can, but people don't understand right now, like that's the issue, right, is that kind of media literacy, is that the part of the difference right now we're seeing is that they're unlike what the internet kind of used to be. So in the guise of trying to make it safer for people, quote unquote, safer for kids and stuff like that, we created these algorithms, this idea of like, it's going to focus you towards something. It's going to bring stuff. But it's a legitimate issue that people don't understand that what they see on their computer and on their feeds are chosen by everybody else.
And they're not truly choosing that.
No, and it's not just coming from the ether. They are sending it to you by your choices that you've made and that you just re-edify it. Like, I've been dealing with this issue on my Instagram where there was one time I clicked on a picture of what, like, let's just say it was a woman with a low-cut shirt on, right? And I just wanted to see
I want to see the full frame. That's all.
I clicked it, and I didn't realize until it expanded, it was a very old woman with a very big set of boobs, and it was a GILF. And now my entire found page just turned into GILFs. It turned into older women with either, like, literally, have you seen this no teeth thing? Women sucking on stuff with, like, no teeth and, like, their boobies hanging out and stuff.
I haven't connected to that yet, but I talk about this all the time. My Instagram algorithm seems to know me better than I know me.
It's unfair. Because then, like, sometimes, like, now I'm looking at them.
Right.
But the problem is that now it thinks I like it. But no, I'm just sickly horrified and captivated. But now I'm aroused by it. Eventually I will be. I feel like that's what they're going to do. They're training me.
Well, and that's the crazy thing, because, like, I was trying to work this into a stand-up chunk, but it's like, I like scuba diving videos a lot because I'm an underwater guy, so I'm watching scuba diving videos. I also happen to click every once in a while if it's some fucking smoke show pin-up type model.
It is just something because I'm at the dentist. I'm in some horrible scenario. I'm looking at a bikini.
I'm a 40-year-old heterosexual man who sometimes is, like, in a trailer for 7 hours waiting for something to happen.
Yes,
so I maybe, like, and then now my For You page features busty scuba divers. Now, can't imagine the population is that large. Now, I feel like I'm not the only one who has that on their algorithm. I'm sure there are other
many. Even you just saying the words. I bet you.
People who are listening to this episode might end up getting activated. Who knows?
Immediately.
But that idea is, like, the horny side of the algorithm, which is scary enough that it can kind of, like, fuck with your pleasure center.
Oh, very much so.
And if it knows that, and then adds a little bit of hate or something that the power structure needs or wants out of you. Like, all of a sudden, what if they wanted grandmothers? Like, what if systematically somehow the people in power would gain money or power, more power
from
older women getting fucked? And then it's like they can actively perceive that. Idea out there. Now, I know. I can't figure out the jump.
I don't know yet. I don't know what the connection is, but I do understand. But on some level, like, yes, cui bono? Who's benefiting from the GILFs? I feel like
I know the stockholders of Meta certainly are. And the people who hold the most Meta stockholders.
And also, they learn a lot about our behavior. And, like, they learn a lot about how we click, how long we click. There's sometimes
that ProPublica shit is, like, all that kind of, like, terrifying.
Oh, yeah. They have all those breakdown. Even just, I think, just, like, the analytics we have just on the podcasting is interesting. Like, what you can have access to and find out. Like, well, just more like it's kind of shallow in one way because it's, you know, like, obviously, location and length that people listen and blah, blah, blah. But you can learn a lot about what people feel about just that level. But just by state, by time, listen, you can kind of figure out what people are into over time once you put more and more of that data together. But it is interesting to also see that. I wonder where the fuck that, what does that lead to? Like, do you want to, is it a repulsion factor? No, in a way. Not saying that GILFs aren't fuckable and viable, because I think that they are. I hope we have a GILF president. Like,
I'll tell you what, we're not going to have... We'll have a GILF president before we have a woman president. Like,
it will be an old woman. Yes, it will be an old first woman president.
If you ran a fucking, like, soda shop and a 75-year-old person came in and said, "I want to work at your soda shop," you'd go, "I'm sorry.
Just where's your son? You need to not be here.
I don't want you. You don't seem like a pod. And also, I want you to just enjoy the remaining years of your
please
life.
Please retire. Please yeah. sit.
And
please
that's what's, do this is yeah. what's fucking kind of crazy what's going on right now.
Look, maybe that's the issue. That's where, again, conspiracy theories, like, on one side.
How do you not get nihilistic that if everyone making the decisions for your future only has a between 5 and 10 years left in their lives?
Like, well, that's the real shit, is that they don't care about the future. They don't right. care about the future because they don't have one.
They're and I'm not going to lie. I'm having a hard time I'm not a father, but I'm having a hard time caring about the future right now because the present is so in my face and it almost feels like that's convenient. You know what I mean? That I'm dealing with constantly with injustice, this, that, anything that they could do on all these kind of like medium level fights while at the top, they're just like, sure. Burn the earth.
We figured out how to turn a pelican into a missile. Like, you know, like there's like some like massive science breakthrough that we'll never understand that just only serves to do something deeply cryptic instead of like fixing everything. We were joking, me and my buddy were joking last night. I feel like if all they just turn the entire system on to fix the environment, we'd like whack it out in 20 years and just be done with it. Like, if we just did it,
that's
we
what America like, can. If we did the draft for the environment, yes. like
we just whack it out. We would just we'd fix it. We'd just be like we would
15 years we would be flying to fucking other countries and going, let us fix your fucking environment for money. Here you go.
Yes.
Bang bang.
We'd bang
be
bang like, bang bang bang. But they don't care. And so the real conspiracy theory is the concept of they just don't give a living shit if we die. And if we die during the process of it, they don't care what it's doing to our bodies. Because, again, everybody who's making a decision is about to die.
Anecdotally, the tier below people who are about to die but are still in the power structure, what we know about millionaires and billionaires, a lot of their culture is based around living longer, having children, and
creating their own nepotism systems.
And having, like, safe havens.
Oh, like, yeah. Jeff Bezos, my conspiracy theory with Bezos is that he's been preparing to be a part of, like, have you ever heard of, like, the idea of a break-off civilization?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like an arc, like, more
yes.
or less. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And that Bezos, I think, was beta testing his concept of, oh, I'll just live in space when he did his little space trip. Because right before then, he was, like, being really, he was, like, hardcore. Like, he was, like, being real flippant about it. And then I think what happened is that he went up in that little plane because they just take you up and down, right? And he realized how much it sucks to be in space, like how much it physically sucks. Like you go up there, it sounds like you're just sick the entire
right.
time.
Yeah,
you're in space.
You know, people don't adapt to that shit instantly.
It takes a long time and then it hurts you. And then coming back is bad for your body, like all that shit. So maybe like I think he went up there and he realized, oh, we ain't really near where we need to be for this to be an actual viable thing for me. Like we're not jumping to space yet. Like, and I'm the richest man in the world. And I'm like, we're not ready for this. So he's like, maybe we should think about the environment. You know, because you notice he changed. He came back and he was like, oh, we need to do these like environmental
seeing
things.
Seeing Earth
like,
from the top made me realize I can maybe try saving this instead. But meanwhile, these guys all like own islands off of New Zealand and shit. Like all have like, and they're clearly stockpiling food and growing crops and have like, you know, they're going to fucking.
I won't name names.
Boom incubators and shit. Yeah.
I won't name names, but I was on a set with some very high level comedians that talked about having a warehouse filled with clean water that they had all like put money in, right? They had all like, they have like a, like it was a timeshare, but it was fresh water. And you're like, that was a thing I heard. And I was just like, that's real. Cause you want to talk conspiracy? It's that stuff. It's cause I have normal like people that help me with like trying to do things with money, right? Like that are just say stuff like, you should put it in Apple. You know what I mean? Not like you should be hoarding fresh water. That is the real Illuminati telling just celebrities to do this shit. Because that's the thing.
I know a celebrity who got like an IPO on Moderna. Like, yeah, like right before, I was like, what? And he's like, yeah.
Like, what was that?
I wouldn't be telling people that someone told you to buy Moderna stock.
Yeah, it was like November 2019. Yeah.
That's not good. But that is those weird things where you're like, all right, the what is conspiracy theory? It seems it's sometimes I wonder if it's quick little movements. Quick little jags where somebody, like, you make a little move like that with a little group of people and you get in and out, like a little, like, conspiracy heist where a group of people, because you could also probably have safely bet at some point where you're like, well, you know, if you're a truly cynical, fucked up person during that time period, you could have been like, well, Trump dissolved the pandemic team, and at some point one of them's gonna hit, right? So like we do with Vegas, you should put some money just in case we're betting on the end of the world.
Hedge your bets, yeah.
Yeah. We want, it's like the guys that all freak, they all talk about how excited they are about recessions. Like, they really are. Like, stock guys love recessions because then they get to re-up. They get to re-choose what are the businesses that make next, that recover. They get to choose.
This is going to be some real work of fiction here, but just jumping back to what you said about Bezos downshifting from space to Earth. Really makes me think of, like, all right, look, Elon Musk, this freak has a lot of money, but he might actually be able to get us to outer space. So let's, like, chill with him for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They go up to outer space, come down. He goes, outer space ain't good. It's like, well, we don't need Musk. Kill the dude. Make him buy Twitter. Let's talk. You know what I mean? Like, and then it's like, now Elon Musk is just not in the power. Like, you know, they just, like, he's back to the fucking G League with the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. He just became another fucking celebrity. He downgraded himself from, like, one of the most, like, cryptic true powers inside of the United States of America. They gave him crazy shit. And what'd he do with it? He dug a hole. He dug a mile-long hole. And it's just sitting there. There's nothing in it. Well, you know, that's my whole thing. That's more like, we'll see what comes from him. But I just feel like the Twitter thing was very dumb.
This is what the problem is, because it's not real investments. It's all like keeping your name in the public eye so that the stocks that you own a lot of get notched up. Like, because that's the weird steering too, is like, if you can make Tesla stock go up $3, that doesn't seem like a lot for people. But if you have
all of the stock,
yeah.
Well, that's, I guess it's one of those things that's almost confusing about it, where you're like, it's such a waste. Like, what he did was such a waste, and this is all just so dumb. It's just so, like again, yeah. Like, why would you lower your own stock? And it's such short term gains. Where are our real Lex Luthers? Where are they?
Well,
where
here's the thing, Henry. They exist. They don't have. They're not. They're not. They're not responding to employees on Twitter. Oh, shit, I'm getting a flash flood warning.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, dude, we're going to get... You both are you in this part where our entire...
Oh, that was nope, it was a missing persons. Whoops.
No, you got an Amber Alert or a silver alert?
Yeah, not silver. Not a GILF alert. Not a missing GILF.
That's my missing GILF word.
But the people, the Lex Luthers, aren't responding to their employees on Twitter.
No.
Aren't making.
No, they're the
memes.
Bilderberg group. They're the ones
Luthers
hoarding all the water.
The Lex Luthers have water and are puppeting Elon Musk. And, like,
no, they love that he's doing, because then he takes all the heat.
Right. And he's the negative billionaire. And then even Bill Gates, who's ostensibly, like, mostly seems like he's trying to be a decent guy, is benefiting from all, like, this cover that is run, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's on the other side doing his own, like, but it's so hard, because then these days, especially, like, what is the main narrative? You know what I mean? Like, you watch all of this stuff, and you're like, more than ever, especially, you know, 2020 had that kind of psychological effect on all of us being made into indoor. Oh, I just got it too.
There you go.
Oh, God. Endangered missing advisory. Oh, God.
Endangered missing what?
Endangered missing advisory? Oh, yeah, that's just from the... Wow, that's scary. I wonder who it is.
Terrifying.
That's terrifying. Oh, my God, it's America Ferrara!
We gotta go find her.
Too symbolic.
We've gotta find her.
We've lost America.
God, what was I saying? What was I yelling about?
Musk is like running cover for
some whore shit. It's just, what's the main narrative?
Oh yeah, that's
I
what
don't
you're
know.
Sorry.
We're all playing. We're just. It's weird because now everybody is an investigative journalist because of the ability, the things that we have at our fingertips in terms of the internet. We don't know what's real and what's not real, and people have lost more of a concept of what's real and what's not real.
Media stuff literacy is shattered, and it's not just old people like I originally thought.
It's all of us. Yeah. I struggle, and I look at several, I know the way to do it, which is you need to look at several sources that are diametrically opposed and look what lines up, and then also look at, like, what are the, and then from outside, you know, like, I try to, if I can, I try to read a story from The Guardian on something, like, something from the outside of the United States, like Al Jazeera. How do they look at us from the outside? What is their reaction? What's the state saying? What are the people saying? And you kind of mix them all up. It's very difficult to do.
Consider the messenger, you know what I mean? Like, if someone is an entertainment podcast, and no offense to present company, you don't have to take what they say as
you better not. The whole point is we're having a fun discussion, but your goal is to, you know, for yourself, you're supposed to figure it out for your goddamn self. You gotta go, like, but I hate now the term do your own research. It's more just understanding that there's many ways information can be manipulated, and it's about how you do it. And you know, in the very end, you know, you get a super high conversation about what's objective truth. I don't know, but
there are people, and continuing using last pod as an example, there are people who are taking, like, the dynamic you guys have with your crowd and using it for not
bad.
Just clout. Not for clout, entertainment, and ad money, and Patreon money. There are people who are using it to steer fucking communities.
To fuck with people. But that's the thing. To hurt people. Because in the end, that's what it is. It's hurting people for their own benefit. Like, we do a comedy show that does its... We try to the utmost extent. Like, each episode has 25 hours of fucking work packed into the back end of it. And it is, we got four researchers. We're doing everything possible to, at least, if I'm fucking around with stuff, I know what's real and what's not real. And I purposely joke about what's not real because I'm allowed to, because it's a comedy show. But again, it's having the general understanding to the audience. Like, we try to cover all aspects of a scenario. Now it's for you. You have to go and kind of decide whatever it is that you believe, because in our mind, like, I am of the old school where I can balance several ideas that don't match up in my head at once. You know what I mean? Like, I can put
the superpower in modern society, because it's so hard for people to, like, hold two opposing thoughts in their head at any given moment.
But it's mostly understanding. It's true to one side, and the other side, it's also true to them. So, like, what's true to you? Like, you're in the middle, right? So we have to, but it really does kind of feel that you've really, like, now put it on us. That's like, they all made a big show. The fact that, like, you know, nobody, like, during the 2016, however, I feel like I get into the whole people calling me, like, having, like, Trump derangement syndrome, but I just don't think they understand as a media person how much it changed the landscape from the inside. You know, like, I don't think it changed people who don't work in media's life as significantly. Obviously, you know, people who were affected by his policies, but, like, somebody like us, it really affected our work dealing with that presidency.
Right.
And now that they shattered the idea of anything that is, like, real or not in a really intense way, like, they are still using that cover. You know,
once the people in power learned that the people they have power over can go, well, despite all the evidence, he said it didn't happen.
They still
learn that. People in power were like, well, fuck, now we can like literally do whatever we want and just
do whatever.
We didn't do that.
Yeah. No, and it feels like a lot of these big, weird, intelligent.
And I'm not even being left and right here, by the
way. No, me neither.
Yeah, I consider myself a leftist, but everyone in power realized, well, we could kind of just do whatever we want now because everything is up. Unfortunately, everything is up for debate as to whether or not it really happened and how it happened and why it happened. There's no concrete. It just seems like, so people are like, fuck it, I'll just do it. Biden can just, like, I'll do whatever I want. The people on the right are going to shit all over everything I do.
Nothing. You're not getting
blind
them on the
support
boat.
From fucking white liberal moms anyway. So let me just fucking go ham. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Because he can do whatever he wants. Right. I mean, it's interesting. And I think that we're suffering from, I like the term internet poisoning. Mm-hmm. a little bit. I think that people, like, we were never supposed to have this much data at once. Our brains were not built for this amount of incoming information.
We shouldn't know this many people's opinions.
No, and they either use it or just ride on top of it, like in the way that they disseminate information. I think that what happened with the, like, I keep focusing on the object story just because, like, the object story is one of the first stories I've seen in a second that, like, you saw several narratives being tested and played out in a period of
literally
time.
For each one, there was like a new, they're like, this one could be like a group of weird old weather nuts in fucking,
yes,
Michigan or whatever.
They floated that. They literally even used a pun. They floated that. They floated several things above. And then you're dealing with the East Palestine chemical spill on underneath it, right? Which is,
this is
something else entirely.
Let's talk about this for a little bit, because this is the kind of shit that gets me. As a diehard fan of Aaron Brockovich, Dark Waters,
yes,
the Rainmaker, all these, like, system, like, because that's not, like, the fucking East Palestine thing is fucking awful, and we're going to see the repercussions of this for decades.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, it's going to be the Camp Lejeune of our
right.
generation.
Right. It's going to be, like, Exxon Valdez, but have more of an effect on humans than,
yeah,
like, you know what I mean? It's going
to
be,
yeah,
deep.
Than Pelican, yeah, and seagulls and shit. It's going
to
be,
we're not
going
to be able to put Dawn on some fucking 8-year-old who's got, like,
we should try it though.
Hey,
I mean, they will.
It's like, $5 are out there.
If they really wanted to fix the narrative, that's what we were all joking about. Even on the show, we were joking about. We're like, I want to see you drink the water on camera.
Right.
Drink the water. Like, pour water out of a fucking faucet. I want to see Buttigieg. I want to have a thermos of Ohio water. I don't want to watch him drink it so that we can see that it's clean. You know, they tried to do it, and then there was conspiracy theory about that was fake. Just have one kid come on covered in toxic waste, and we wash him on camera.
Yeah,
and I feel like there was
Zach Morris, Mark Paul Gosselaar washes him with Dawn soap.
It will change the narrative. But it's
one
weird.
Of those things. Sorry, just to wrap up this thought. Well, that this is an acute, awful thing, but that is like, there is systematic, like, lightly stripping away of things that protect humans themselves, like employees of these train companies, and make their lives better, and would take a little bit of money out of stockholders.
A little bit.
And would
a
make
a little bit.
But would save the planet, like, would save, like, this is an acute, terrible instant of something that can happen. But we've been systematically fucking these people over, people who have trains that go through their towns. God, no, like, all that shit is fucking, that's bad.
Oh, it's very bad.
Yeah, and then we're just seeing, like, once, and there, everyone's like, well, they will take care of this. Yeah, and they'll be like, we took care of it. It'll be like, we didn't put anything in place to stop it from happening again. We did.
With the emails, I got emails during the time period where it's like, the really concerning thing apparently is not just, it wasn't even just that one. It was just like, how often it happens.
Right. This just happens to be the one that we saw. Yeah.
Yes.
And it happens to be like, oh, yeah, a bunch of wood fell off train the other day. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's just, you know, it's lithium.
It's lithium. Yeah, literally. Yeah. It's like a bunch of, like, hardcore shit that just sinks into the soil.
Right.
Just like pure liquid mercury. No, like, it's weird. It's that's one of those. You look and you're like, well, that's that we're watching the system function. We're like watching the immune system of the intelligence community react and what they do with it. And so you're like, okay, so that's how they do that. Like, never mind, like, what we just dealt with like an invisible force that you can't, like, that, like, of a disease that is an objective thing that then you can also spin a bunch of shit around because it is, if anything, like, I've never under, like, even just the idea of, like, if you're Christian and anti-vax, it's so funny because it's like, if you believe in your God, don't you believe that every time he sent a plague, it was to teach everybody something, right? With the whole point of UT sending a plague was that it meant something. It meant we were fucking up, and it didn't mean that we weren't supposed to, like it's very strange how they twisted themselves into a ball over that issue. And it's very, it's very weird, like that, but you could see why something like that, an invisible objective thing getting spun from multi different perspectives from across the world that we're all subjected to, or every single one of us is subjected to, not only the government spin, but your every single human you've ever met spin, to the media's spin, and you're just like, I'm just...
Person's individual media diet spin of like, well, I get all my news from Tim Pool. I get all my news from Last Pod.
Rachel Maddow.
Maddow. From this, from that, from smaller, bigger, and it's like, and they're not all telling the same story. But you would think that a train overturning with visible black smoke and people going, toxic spill, would kind of bring everyone together of like, that's objectively bad.
We can fix this.
Forget the environment. Like, forget even like the environment of it all.
And it's a low-ball fix.
Right?
It's a low-ball fix. All you have to do is, it's like, they're just asking for some, like, literal hours off. Like, they're asking for it. And it's like, yes, you do lose a little bit of money. But I find that you just...
But the fact that, like, this is...
I don't know.
All the conspiracies we talk about, unfortunately... really are just pinpricked like a second when it's like, oh, it's just about a little bit more money.
Yeah.
It's just about more money. And that's infuriating. And it's because we all buy into this quote unquote conspiracy that life is all about money, because without money
in America,
you will die.
Well, that's where in
like
America is highly weaponized.
Money.
Yes. Yeah. We talk about that all the time. Like there's that, on our fraudster show, like they even called it financial serial murder. Like in America, like if you take somebody's income, you can like there is no. It's a brutal landscape.
Yeah,
there's very little places for you to land.
If you get fired, you lose health insurance. If you don't have a job, you're not allowed to go to the hospital. So in order to like take care of yourself physically, you have to go to a job. Now, what are the hours of doctor's offices? Weird. Same hours as your job.
Your job.
So what the fuck? Like, it's all about just, and we have
pennies on the dollar. Pennies to them, to like them. Like,
they're operating at scale. They're operating at a huge scale. Yes. So pennies on the dollar is an inordinate amount of money for them. And it goes all the way down. So I'm like, remove this top tier of power we're talking about, the Illuminati.
Yeah, like a bunch of guys with triangle hats, like they don't need it. And then a part of the sense of humor is like, that's why I feel like when they do MKUltra and they do things, they play act those things. And there will be scenarios where they do those, where they literally dress up like that. So they make sure that if you tell somebody else, it sounds like you're full of shit. And they do stuff like that, where they play into that concept where the real conspiracy is just this. Because again, it's short-term games. Because I also don't understand about with Ohio. Don't you understand that if these things don't happen, you're going to save the millions of dollars in settlements you're going to end up paying at some point.
Right.
At some point, these companies do end up having to pay out a bunch of different money.
But they got 12 years of a fucking Ohio Aaron Brockovich fighting against their machine of money. Now, that's the big top tier guys. Even the people in like the just millionaire class or like the high, you know, half a millionaire class, those people are all about, unfortunately, even though they have money, they can't imagine potentially losing it. So all these people are doing everything in their power to keep their money, even though it's not the elite global Illuminati amount of money, but a guy who's got $7 million in the bank is trying to keep it all in his family because he knows if he loses any of this money, there's a chance down the road he dies, his family dies.
What do they call it? Institute? I forget what the term is, where it's like outliving the amount of money that you have.
Right, yeah.
It's the thing, like you get to 70 and you got to start driving for Uber Eats. You know, like that's the nightmare. That's
right.
The
that's a nightmare. And then even like people who have seven homes feel that. And it's like, And it's like, so they have to act a certain way, and they're going to,
well, I
run
just
a small
about
business
in
with 15 employees. I'm going to treat them. I'm going to not treat them as well as I can because I can keep an extra couple. This country, what are the high, what do we spend our money on? War, cops, and private business that we can
and all just protects,
that rich people can invest in.
Yes,
that,
and it all just protects the top half. Yeah, it protects
yes,
the top.
It all protects money. Everything that like we invest in as a country protects the money. And so it's almost like we need to find money in saving the planet Earth. Like
I feel like it's there.
It's gotta
be. I feel like there is money there. Like this, let's just switch our sickness. Because that's all it is. It's just feeding the same sickness, but at least it'll help because we're obsessed with it because this fear that we generated, and it's our culture here where you're like, obviously, you know, you spend time in Europe. They live a freer life. You know what I mean? They live a freer life. Yeah, most of the time, can wheelchairs not get in places? Yeah. But it's because the place is a million years old. And it's got like a little cryptic, like one tiny staircase that moves in a spiral.
I can't even piss in most European bathrooms. Like I don't fit in their structures. And I'm not faulting them for it.
That's just how they were tinier people.
Yeah. By the way, a fucking really cool thing that France, maybe my listeners know this, maybe they don't, but France tried to raise the retirement age from 62
years
to 64, still lower than the retirement age in America. And it caused a nationwide protest. Now, we have people in America who believe that that's bullshit, that you should have to work till you're 65. All I want to posit, I know I'm a hippie, I know I'm a fucking leftist, I know I have no children and no savings, and I'm on Cobra Health Insurance, and I know I live in an apartment and I own no property.
So technically, you're doing it right. Technically, you're just right in very good spot to be a comedian.
But why would you not want to retire earlier? Everyone thinks they're a business owner. Like the brain, we've turned our brains so we all are like, well, I'll get fucked over. Because I'm not going to be the guy that flips burgers at McDonald's. And no judgment to that job. Pay them
no,
even
of course
more.
Not.
But I'm not going to be the guy that I'm going to be the guy that owns several McDonald's. And it's like, I got bad news. It's way less people have the ownership and less every fucking day. The consolidation of money and power is
every
so
day.
Terrifying. We
it's just
are
rough.
All the fucking peasants now. And we have to start fighting for peasant stuff, like lower the retirement age, free health insurance, give us
absolutely.
The peasant shit, free housing.
Well,
because
you know what would be nice? Let's get these fucking 70-year-olds out of the goddamn workforce.
Right?
Like, I love that. I'm not even just saying like it's not just for, but like look at the government. It's like what we were just talking about. It's this thing where you're like, we gotta bump the age back down. I really feel like there's something to the concept. There's something tied to the fact that the birth rates are going down and the power class has gotten so old.
Right.
There's something that there's some kind of also connection to that. That's all like, because there is no vision for a future where you can like put your guns down. There's no like vision for that where you can finally just stop and chill and like live a supported life because it's okay and it's cool too.
We're going 85 and a 65 on a highway that will end in a cliff.
Yes,
and I don't see an exit before the cliff. Like we have to
not
build
right now.
An exit. ASAP.
We got yes, we got to do it. Which means it's our generation. And so far, what our generation has really excelled in is constantly rebooting Star Wars. And what I hope is that maybe at some point
they can focus on Spider-Man for a little bit.
Right. Sometimes it's just be like, what have millennials done? We've mostly just. Not to be too cranky about it. But I remember the Member Berries episode of South Park. I know that I am my political training largely came from South Park when I was in high school.
Yes.
But it's still like, but that concept of like, we're just like in this sort of like memory prism where we're just like, remember when we were
kids?
Well,
it feels like nostalgia is another tool of the powerful to keep us feeling comfortable. It's fucking
just thinking about our childhood all day long.
What's it called in Brave New World or 1984? The thing that
Soma.
Soma. Yeah, it's like they're constantly finding new Soma. And I think the power also knows that fighting people who you deem to be different than you, or hating a group that you deem to be different than you, is
it works.
A
we'll
soma.
Divide the people.
Yeah.
Because again, rage. Rage is a really good feeling to feel. Like, rage is like one of those things that, like, that you, there's something about it. It feels like self fulfilling. Your righteous anger. Like, and then spreading it out on somebody else is something that, like, and the internet is then weaponized to make money on it. Like,
right.
your rage. It's made to anger you now. Now, that's all journalists do. It's writing, saying some highly flagrant sentence so that you just freak out. And
well,
then
I'll go as far to say, like, along this, like, anger thing. I don't know. I'm not a very political person. I don't fully understand a lot of politics, but how much power does someone in the House from Georgia really truly have? Like a Marjorie Taylor Greene. She has power, but she can't truly steer national like policy. But
no.
What she can do is draw the ire and attention of everyone who disagrees yes. with her, and even arguably draw the attention of everyone that does agree with her while we're all looking at the lady screaming about the three-card Monty game that's happening. The three-card Monty guy is swapping out the winning card.
Like, I completely believe that. And also
up MTG's ass, we're like, look at this fucking psycho.
I hate
She's saying
shit.
The craziest shit.
We learned the wrong lesson. It's just this thing, because that's where my issue is as a comedian. It's like, I felt like during the Trump years, like, it was so, like, unless you're Anthony and Tamanik, who was literally the single best version of that humor. Right.
Yes, and true, and everyone here on my podcast knows I fucking love Atamanik, but I'll back true satire of
true satire,
not just an impression, but truly undercutting and calling out some of his more nefarious motives,
and
unlike anyone else was doing,
and predicting shit, right? Like, really was.
Yeah,
right. But there is but otherwise, anything else, all of the jokes, all of the material, all the memes about these people solidify their face into humanity. Like, there is a thing in advertising, like, idea of, like, you know, as many times you see something, you implant it. Like, so on some level, even just the joking, the constant attention on this woman solidifies her stance as
creates
a public
the
figure.
Reality that, like, yes. you were saying earlier. Yeah,
it builds her brand, it ups her stock, it makes more and more people believe in her and want to get up involved with her, no matter what it is she believes, even if it's just to make fun of her. There are people where you're like, it's just difficult, because that's where I get into a messaging
I call
thing.
This is I have a little fucking pet theory. This is called the Impractical Jokers paradox. Impractical Jokers, did they make True TV, or did True TV make the Impractical Jokers by putting it on all the time and solely promoting it?
I don't
know.
Did
they create the phenomenon of Impractical Jokers? The guys are great. I did their show. It's a great.
It's fucking.
There's a lot of good shows out there. They got 20 fucking seasons.
Think about this. How often do we see in show business? It's the truth, right? Sometimes they just choose somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'll see how many times you'll see, like, an actor bomb in a bunch of movies, but they keep putting him in.
Yeah, That's like Russell Brand of the late teens, right?
Yes.
Like Russell Brand got like 11 chances. It felt like some studio exec was like, I just want to
like
fuck
this
guy.
And we've already done it. We've already made our choice and it's done.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's what humanity and all of these things is that, like, I do believe that on some level, yes, the reason why those things happen is because you've already paid money for this thing and it's doing reasonably well. And you're like, well, we already got these guys. We don't need to go look around for us. So then you wonder, then they just pump it out of sheer laziness, right? Truly. And then they made an empire. They made a media empire because out of some executive didn't want to go and make a varied schedule. Because it just comes down to, like, these are real effects. These are things. And then it spills onto us. And then we, as a confused people, begin reading into it because, oh, God, what's his name? The guy that did, the British documentarian. He did Hypernormalization.
Oh, fuck. What's his name? Oh, the guy's God, fucking great.
Dan, just... Adam Curtis. Curtis. He's in this. He said that he made a really interesting point. His newest group, he just did a new one that was called Can't Get You Out of My Head. That was really, really interesting. And he broke down a really interesting concept about conspiracy theory in general, because what he does is he charts the rise of conspiracy theory in China and America. Like he does. And basically what he talks about with the lack of information comes what is what conspiracy theory is, which is putting separate points together that don't really belong together because there's a lack of official narrative. Right. No one is coming out and telling everybody what's happening. So everybody is in a sea of confusion because daddy government hasn't told us explicitly what's going on. The gaps widen. The fucking that fake information comes in. And now we have a perfect like information aggregating system that like then weaponizes that thing.
Yeah.
That exact function.
It's
going to get worse. Because especially now we got the deep fakes and that's going to come. That's going to be really interesting time period. And what I'm hoping is that there will be almost a Luddite period at some point.
Dude, this is what I keep pushing. I'm hoping that the way like our generation would like kind of were like, well, I got into vinyl around the time as MP3s were popping off.
There's going to be fucking like little like flip phones. Flip phones I think are going to come back. Like the idea of total data immersion, I think most people are going to, if they haven't already gone completely absolute batshit nuts at this point, at some point, you know, like during the last like 3 years, like you
we're
will
gonna look,
hit that
we're gonna
point.
Look back, we're going to be 20 years from this full data immersion and we're going to be looking at it like smoking, driving without seatbelts.
Marcus and I talk about this all the time. Is that is going to be the lead poisoning?
Generation. I think driving specifically cars. I think in 100 years, if we're still around,
we will be done with that. We'll be
people
done
are going to be like,
concept.
I can't believe you used to drive 8-ton vehicles, 80 miles an hour, all trusting the individuality of all the fucking lunatics and psychos and
I got two car accidents in a week in December.
Jesus.
And it fucked me. You're like, fuck me up for a second for driving, because again in LA, we're all driving 6 inches from each other, going 90 miles per hour. You know, like that's all it is.
I had Charlie Todd on the podcast talking about like pedestrian rights and all this stuff and like a carless culture. And he said something that really got to me. He's like, a lot of these anti-car people eliminate the phrase car accident and call it car crash because it's starting to feel like they can't be accidents. If we're letting this many people on the road, it's systematic. It's not accidents anymore.
It's going to happen.
It's a feature, not a bug.
And there's an industry built around it.
Bigger cars, bigger. Faster cars, harder to stop, more deadly, more people.
Or it's even worse.
More individual freedom. You know what I mean? Like no less
I will
public
say,
transit.
The safety features of my car are more annoying than anything. They do the thing. My car has a thing where it beep, boop, boop, and it directs your car back into the lane or whatever. And I'm like, honestly, this is going to fucking kill somebody. It's almost killed me where it's just like, you don't know where I'm driving, car. I'm going to kill you. But it's fine, whatever. Dude, this has been fucking awesome.
This has been awesome. I gotta let you go. But I just want to jump back to East Palestine for 1 second. Isn't Biden the fucking train guy? That's all I want to say. All he talks about is trains. And we fucking have train issues. Yeah.
This is completely Buttigieg's fault because of the negotiation with the union thing. That is all, it is, it's one of those where you're, what you said, we're going 85 and a 65. And the highway is going to end.
Right.
So we really have to these are things that are like, these are easy L's we're getting here.
Someone you know, pointed out, I forget, I hate an unaccredited tweet, but someone just said something to the effect of like, liberals just tell you to vote. The train conductors did vote and we ignored them. Like the train employees,
ignored them.
They voted, they did the thing they asked them to do and they just ignored it. And that's going to continue to happen. And that's what that's the left's, that's the liberal stopping of power is, well, just vote. Tell them in the box. And it's like, but that still leaves,
it's
that
so
still leaves
hard
88-year-old women in charge and men in charge. Yeah.
We're just is still in the Gen X hangover of it was so cool to not care. I remember how cool it looked to not care. You know, remember how, like,
apathy is
up,
a hell of a drug, dog.
It's yeah. so cool to not give a fucking shit, man, especially later on, like, as you get older. Like, now I feel like as both a business owner and as a comedian and as a man, I want to be more aware, right? Like, but it took a long time to get here. This took, like, therapy and mushrooms and, like, all of the shit to understand truly, oh, like,
reading and learning. Yeah.
Open your third eye. Understand that we're all part of the fucking same organism, bro. Like, I want to, you know, you get made fun of for it, but it's the truth.
But a lack of empathy benefits the rich and powerful.
It does.
And so, like, if it can be our mini little revolt and rebellion to have empathy for our fellow person,
trying to
find it in every situation. I've recently stopped having road rage because every time someone does something stupid on the road around here, I just go, they're probably just a little stoned. They accidentally were like, whoops, I didn't know I had to drive. I'm a little high now.
Well, that's because you are.
I got to get to work or whatever. Yeah.
You're also on the blood pressure medication like I just got on too.
Yes, and you got to start finding peace in life.
Yes, I'm like legally forced to. I'm, like, supposed to not be yelling at people in traffic anymore. But I don't know what to do because I'm trying to do exactly what you said. Just being like, we're all just trying to drive our fucking cars. He's probably fighting with his divorce attorney right now on a speakerphone.
He's got to go from one job to another because the system requires that he has multiple places.
Multiple jobs.
I mean, that's why I'm rushing. I'm rushing from a podcast.
Seriously, yeah, I'm running from one gig. I'm literally going from one gig to another, literally. So I'm with you. I'm the same psychopath as you are.
Henry, if the listeners of my podcast don't know about your podcast, they're fucking living under a rock. But tell
check
listeners
our bullshit. Last podcast on the left. We got on LP on the left and all the bullshits. And then if you are in the Los Angeles area, we're doing a little show because we're chilling on tour in this year, just because we hit it so hard last year. But we're doing a Side Stories live. So Side Stories are like side show to Last Podcast on the Left. And so we're doing a live show April 8th at the Fine Arts Theater in Beverly Hills. Go to getitmade.la/disasterman. To come support a little short film
cool.
that I'm doing. Because that's fun. Because you know what's fun about all the streamers and everything collapsing? We get to go back to making web series again.
I know. And then
it's our time again, baby. Mid-aughts internet training is coming back, friend. I mean this. The web series is going to come back.
It's going to. Like, Patreon and like that kind of thing is going to be.
Because we're not going to be able to sell television shows anymore.
I literally lost my SAG health insurance this year. It's like.
Oh, no. I lost mine in the middle of quarantine. That's actually, I felt really bad. That was the first time I ever, because I called them a bunch of rats. Oh, like, I screamed at all them because I lost, and I was just like, yes, I didn't work in 2020. There's a global fucking pandemic. Yeah. And guess what? I had a bad 2019 too. But normally I work.
That's where I'm at. I had a bad 2020, 2021, and then I happened to have a good 2022, but not according to SAG.
No, really?
Like, because it was 101 places is non-union. So I made
to protest. We need to go to True TV and protest. All the fat bearded comedians need to just go protest outside of True TV.
Yeah. SAG after health insurance is the new cocaine and is going to slowly kill all fat comedians. Henry, I'm going to let you go. 101 places to party before you die now on HBO Max. Action Boys is my other podcast. Check it out. Henry, thanks again.
Dude, so good.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come.
Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on
one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!